The fourth parak describes to us how the pay was actually distributed to the ani. Mishnah Aleph says as follows: Hapeya nitenes bechubar lakarka. The pay, how was it distributed? It wasn't. It was just left attached to the ground on the stalks, on the grain, on the trees, whatever it was growing, and it would be up to the anim for the poor to cut it off and take it for themselves. However, there were exceptions to the rule when it would be a sakana, when it would be dangerous for the anim to attempt to cut it down themselves. For example, bidalis, if you have a grapevine that's growing very high up on a lattice work, ubedekel, or if you have a date palm, it's very high up, tough to get those dates down. In those situations, Baal Habayis Morid Umechalek Lanim, in those situations, the Baal Habayis, the owner of the field, would cut it off and he would distribute it to the Anim. It would not be up to them to go and try to pull all that down off of the trees because it's dangerous attempting to do so. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he adds on as well, af bechalike agozim, to the walnut tree, because it has a very smooth trunk, it would also be very dangerous for the anim to attempt to get up that tree in order to take the walnuts off. The Mishnah in the Seifa now refers back to the Reisha where we said that hapeya, the peya is given b'mechubar lakarka, it's left on the field and the anim would cut it and distribute it themselves. Afilu tishim v'teisha omim, even if 99 out of the 100 anim that came to collect omim, they are saying lechalek, we want the owner to cut it down for us and distribute it to us. And ve'echad omer lavoz, and only one of them insists, we all should be cutting it for ourselves, even when it includes our grabbing and fighting with each other in order to get the produce. Lazesh Shomim, we listen to that one, Sha'amar Kalacha, because he's the one who's adhering to the halacha, as we've stated in the Reisha, that the peah is nitenes, the peah is given off b'mechubar lakarka, when it is attached to the ground, and it should not be the owner of the field who is cutting it off, other than in situations where it is dangerous to leave it to the anim to do it themselves. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, which says, Bidalis, when we have that grapevine, that long grapevine growing up a lattice, so it's really high up, uvedekel, and we have that date palm, also the dates are way at the top there, enoch, and that is not the situation. What's not the situation? So the Mishnah continues, Afilu tishim v'tisha omrim lavoz, even if we have 99 people saying that we want to go and cut it ourselves, leave it on the tree. We'll cut it down. We'll fight for it ourselves. V'echad omer lechalek, and one says, that's not what should be done when it comes to these trees that are dangerous. Indeed, we paskin that the owner of the field should harvest it, and he should pick it and distribute it to us. Lazesh Shomi, we listen to that one out of the 100, Sha'amar Kalacha, because he is saying the halacha, that as we said in the prior Mishnah, when it's dangerous for the anim to be cutting it down themselves, because the produce is high up, we leave it to the owner to do it, and we leave it to the owner to distribute it, rather than leaving it to 100 anim, or however many, to try to get it down the tree themselves. Mishnah Gimel discusses more detail on how the anim would actually collect the peah, and as we'll see, this will also apply to other matanos anim, like the leket, as we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, the leket, which falls from the sickle as the farmer is doing the harvest, so he's harvesting and it falls off the sickle. V'chein ba'omer ha-shichecha, at the end of the Mishnah, this will also apply to shichecha, when the farmer has bundled up sheaves, and when he's removing them from the field, he forgets them, he's not permitted to go back and get the leket or the shichecha either. So the Mishnah says as follows, as the anim were vying to get the peah, and as we said, the leket and the shichecha, to ensure that things don't get out of hand, certain halachas apply to make sure that this was done in a civil manner. So natal miktsas peah. If we have an ani that took some peah, and in order to try to quickly acquire ownership of other areas of the peah before other people took it, uzrak al ashar, and he took that peah that he had acquired and he threw it on the others in order to say, this is mine, or to cover it up so others wouldn't see it. Ein lo baklum, he lost even what he had properly acquired before he started throwing his peah in order to acquire other parts of the peah. And in addition, nafol lo alav, he simply jumps on a bunch of peah in an attempt to grab it. Or uferes taliso alav, he throws a garment over it as if to say, this is mine, Ma'avirin osa himeno, we can remove him from jumping on the peah, we can remove his garment from what he threw on the peah. That is not the way to acquire peah, so this will not work in his favor. And the same thing applies, v'chein b'leket, as we mentioned, v'chein b'omar shichcha, this also applies with leket and shichcha, that these protections existed, that there are proper ways, even if it means vying for it with other people, but there are rules and there are there's simply behavior that is not acceptable, that the person will lose out when he behaves in that way. Mishnah Dalin and thereafter Mishnah Hey have additional regulations that were instituted by Chazal to ensure that the collection of the payah was done in a civil manner as much as possible given the situation. So the Mishnah says as follows, payah ein kotzrin osa b'magalos. It was not permitted for the anim coming to collect the payah to harvest it with sickles. That's talking about if they are harvesting the grain in the field or other similar produce. Vein okrin osaba kardumos, and they were also not permitted to uproot it with spades, for example, with a spade or a shovel, if they were digging, for example, for vegetables that grow under the ground, onions and the like. Kedei shelo yaku ish esreyeu, so they should not come to literally hit each other with these metal utensils. Things could get a little heated in theory, so Chazal were concerned about that. It instituted, don't use these metal kalim, these metal instruments and tools, to avoid things getting too physical. Mishnah Hey, Shalosh Abayis Bayom. There were, as the Bartanur explains, three times that the Baal Abayis, the owner of the field, and it could be his representative as well, appeared in the field, and those were the times that the Anim were permitted to come in and take the Peah and any other Matonos Anim that they were permitted to take. The rationale why he or the representative had to be there is to ensure that the Anim would take only the matanos anim, the gifts that they were permitted to take, and nothing else. And these times were spread out through the day, bashachar in the morning, bachatzos midday, uvamincha in the afternoon, to ensure that various people had the ability to come, because you may have somebody who's elderly, for example, who was only able to come in the afternoon, somebody tending to kids who was only able to come early in the morning. So it was to make times that there would be availability for everyone based on their schedules to come. Three times in the day, the owner would come or his representative, and then the anim were permitted to come into the field. Now, there's a discussion between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva if this was a maximum amount or a minimum amount three times. Rabbi Gamliel, Omer, Lo Amru, Ela Kadesh, Lo Yifchasu. Rabbi Gamliel was of the view that three is a minimum number of times, and it was instituted for the benefit of the poor spread out throughout the day, so that they would have access and availability based on their schedules. But if the Baal HaBayis wanted to add times to those three, he was permitted to. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Amru Ela Kadesh Lo Yosifu. According to Rabbi Akiva, this is a maximum number of times. You were not permitted to add on. Rabbi Akiva's concern is that the farmer may set up private times for his close relatives or his close friends who were in need of financial assistance to come in when no one else would know about it, and that would give them the priority in giving the matanos anim, getting the peah, etc. So Rabbi Akiva was concerned about that. We want the field open to all anim, and not just to play games and open it privately to enable those who were close to the farmer to take the matanos anim, and to exclude other people from taking. Shel beis namer, and we're going to see that contrast, that concern there is addressed directly with the practices of beis namer, hayu melaktin alacheva. What that means is the typical way to do peah is that you would leave 1/60th of the field, and you would typically harvest the field and leave it at the end and let the anim come in at that point. But Beit Namer, they did it in a much more favorable way for the anim. Instead of waiting till the end, they would measure each row in their field. They had a chevel, they had a rope, and it would measure 59/60ths or 1/60th off. They would, in other words, harvest all the way and leave 1/60th in every single row and then let the aniyim take it. It was much more convenient to the aniyim. They don't have to wait to the end. They could take it along the way. So just to see that in the language of the Mishnah, Shabbos Namer, Hayu Melaktin al Achevel, they would harvest based on the rope. That's by the measurement of the rope. They would be Venostin Peya, but me call Uman the Oman. They would leave Bapeya at the end of each and every row, 1/60th of each row at the end. And this was very much for the convenience of the Anim, because they were permitted to come in and take it along the harvesting process at various times, and not just making them wait until the way end and have them all come in at the same time. Mishnah Vav discusses if these mitzvahs are relevant to a non-Jew who converted. And as a byproduct of this discussion, we're going to see, when does the mitzvah of leket and shichacha and peya kick in? So the Mishnah starts out by saying, Oved kochabim shekatzar et tzadehu, if we have a non-Jew who harvested his field, va'achar kach nisgayer, and thereafter, after he harvested, but before, for example, moving the produce, as we'll see, this is going to be relevant in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, before he removes the bundles from the field, he converts. Potter min aleket u'min ashichecha u'min apeya. The Tanakhama tells us that this non-Jew, because he harvested when he was non-Jewish, he has no requirement to give the three matanos anim discussed in our Mishnah here, leket, shichecha, and peya. The Bar Tanur explains as follows. This is based on the psukim d'yichsiv. I'm reading the Bar Tanur now. Gaba leket upeya. When it comes to leket and peya, uvekutzrechem, when you harvest. So the drasha is when a Jew harvests, not when a non-Jew harvests. So if the person was non-Jewish during the harvesting, there's no chiyuv of leket and peya. And in addition, there's a similar drasha by shichacha that says kitzir, your harvesting, and not that of a non-Jew. Rabbi Yehuda Machai b'shichacha. Rabbi Yehuda agrees when it comes to peya and leket, but when it comes to shichacha, which is the halacha, if somebody bundles up the produce in the field and is removing it and forgets a bundle, and we'll get into the details, Amir Tashem, later on in the Masechta, but you forget a bundle, then you have to leave it for the anim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to shechecha, that obligation of shechecha does not kick in when you harvest the field when the person was non-Jewish, but she'ena shechecha ela bishas ha'im, or the obligation of shechecha kicks in only literally when bundling. That means when the person is removing those sheaves for those bundles from the field, whatever he's bundled up, the produce, and he removes it and he forgets it. So at that point, the person that we're discussing had already converted by the time he is doing the removal, the bundling, removal of the bundles from his field. And accordingly, there would be an obligation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Shichcha, but he agrees when it comes to Leket and Peah that goes by when the produce is harvested and the person was non-Jewish and accordingly not obligated in those two. Mishnah Zayin continues with the concept that the chiyuv of leket, shichacha, and peya kick in when the crops are owned and harvested by the individual who is harvesting them. So the Mishnah says as follows, hikdish kama ufada kama. We have a situation that somebody was makdish. He donated his crop to the Beis HaMikdash while they were kama, while they were standing produce. In other words, that means that it hadn't been harvested yet. It's produce, but it's still attached to the ground. And then he subsequently ufada kama, and he also redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash, but it had still not been harvested. Accordingly, when he harvests it, that's when he's going to have the obligation. So the Mishnah says, Chayev, he's obligated when he harvested in leket, shichacha, umpeya. And now we're going to have a similar but different situation. The Mishnah continues, Amarim, now he donates it to the Beis HaMikdash after the harvesting, so it's already been bundled up, and he redeems it, ufada Amarim, and he redeems it from the Beis HaMikdash while it's still bundled. He's still chayev in the obligation of leket, shichacha, umpeya, for the reason that when he harvested it, it was his, and only thereafter he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash and redeemed it. So we see in both of these two situations that the harvesting was done when he owned it. At one point, he had donated to the Beis HaMikdash before and got it back and then harvested it. That's the first part of the Mishnah. And the second part of the Mishnah is that he harvested it first and then donated to the Beis HaMikdash and then repurchased it. He's still chayav because in both situations, the obligations of Leket, Shichacha, and Peah kick in when he harvests it. It's in his ownership. He harvested, he's obligated. Now we have a different situation. He donates it to the Beis HaMikdash when it is Kama, when it is attached, so he doesn't have the obligation yet of Leket, Shichacha, and Peah. It hasn't been harvested. Ufada Amarim, and thereafter he redeems it from the Beis HaMikdash while it's when it is already bundled. In other words, the harvesting was done when it was in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. So in this situation, it is Ptura. He is not obligated in Leket, Shichacha, and Peah. Shibishas Chovasa, at the time that there was an obligation, in other words, when the harvesting was done, Haisa Psura, it was Potur from taking Leket, Shichacha, and Peah because it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash at that time. So it doesn't fit under the requirement of Kitzircha, your Kitzir, that you have to own it at the time of harvesting in order for it to be Chayav in Leket, Shichacha, and Peah. In Mishnah Ches, we're going to see the identical construct that we saw in the prior Mishnah as it related to giving of Leket, Shichacha, and Peah, but we're going to apply that to the obligation to give Trumas and Maisros. So the obligation to give Trumas and Maisros kicks in when somebody has harvested and then thereafter piles up the produce and smooths it out. The obligation of Trumas and Maisros only kicks in when he's piled it and smoothed out. He's organized that pile. That's when he's chayev to give Trumas and Maisros. So in Mishnah Ches, it says as follows, Kiyotzeva, similar or identical to the prior Mishnah, Hamaktish Peirosav Ad Shalobau Leonas Hamasra, somebody who's Maktish to the Beis HaMikdash, his fruit, his produce, before they were obligated in Trumas and Maestros, because he hasn't smoothed out the pile yet, Ubedaan. And again, he redeemed it before the obligation, because it has still not been piled up and smoothed out. Accordingly, Chayavin, he is obligated once he smooths out that pile of the produce to give Trumas and Maestros because the obligation happened when it was in his possession. Mishabau Leonas Amasros, when the person is Makdishet, once the Onas Amasros has already happened. In other words, he's already piled it up and smoothed it out. So now he's obligated in Trumas and Maestros, and then he's Makdishet to the Beis HaMikdash, Upidaan, and he redeems it from the Beis HaMikdash. Chayavin, he's obligated, this time, same reason, because it was in his possession, whether it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash before the obligation kicked in, or whether it was owned by the Beis HaMikdash after the obligation kicked in, but in either of these two scenarios, the obligation kicked in when it was in his possession. The third scenario is when he is not going to be chayav, similar to what we saw in the prior Mishnah. If he's hikdishan ad shalo nigmara, if he was makdishit, he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash before the obligation kicked in because he had not yet piled it up and smoothed out the pile of the produce, ugemara nagizbar, and that happened in the possession of the Gizbar in the base of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the official in the Beis HaMikdash, the officer of the Beis HaMikdash. He is the one who made sure that it was all piled up and smoothed out. And the Beis HaMikdash has no obligation to give Trumas and Maestros. In other words, when the obligation kicked in, it was exempt from Trumas and Maestros, and only thereafter, Vacharkach Pedaan, then the owner came and redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash again. Just like the prior Mishnah, this is a situation where it's Pturin. There's no obligation to give the Trumas and Maestros. Just like in the prior Mishnah, when there was no obligation to give the Leket, Shichacha, and Peah, same rationale, Shibishas Chovasan Hayu Pturin, because it had the obligation, at the time that the obligation kicked in, it was exempt because the obligation happened when it was in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. And as we mentioned, the Beis HaMikdash is exempt from Trumas and Maestros. Accordingly, the person repurchased it thereafter when it had already become exempted in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, so he has no obligation when he redeems and takes possession of that produce after it was in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash when it was exempt. Mishnah Tes discusses a situation that instead of an ani, a poor person taking possession of the Leket, Shichacha, or Peah, that a wealthy person did on behalf of somebody who is not wealthy. So the question here is, can a wealthy person do that, or does it actually have to be a poor person who has to take possession of the leket shichcha and peah? So the Mishnah says as follows, mishelakat es hapeah. Somebody, it's talking about a wealthy person, came and he collected the peah on behalf of somebody who was not well off, who would otherwise be permitted to take the leket shichcha and peah. Va'amar, and the wealthy person said, harezo le'ish ploni oni, I am doing this on behalf of X, Y, and Z, or X, or Y, or Z, one person, and he is not well off, he needs this matanos anim, it's not for me. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Zachalo, Rabbi Eliezer is of the view that despite the fact that the person is wealthy and he cannot take it for himself, he would be permitted to take it on behalf of the poor person. V'chachamim omrim, chachamim of the view that a wealthy person cannot act on behalf of a poor person and take possession of the produce. Accordingly, Yidnenu, the wealthy person, has to give it, the Ani Shanim Sarishon, to the first Ani that he comes across. He has to get it out of his possession. He doesn't own it, and it's a matan, it's a gift for a poor person. He has to make sure to give it to the first poor person that he comes by. Next halacha is as follows, and we're going to use the Bar Tanur to explain this to us. Haleket v'ashichecha v'apeah, those are the three matanos anim that we have been talking about, and we're now talking about in Eretz Yisrael, a field that is owned by a non-Jew. Shel ovid kochavim chayav b'masros. The leket v'ashichecha v'apeah, a non-Jew is not obligated to give leket v'ashichecha v'apeah. Accordingly, that is just regular produce for him, and according to the Tana of this Mishnah, that produce is obligated in Masros, even though the field is owned by a non-Jew. So let's look at the Bar Tanura, Shalovet Kochavim Chaya B'Masros, the Ho'il, the Ein Ho'ovet Kochavim Chaya B'Leket Shichobeya, because the non-Jew is not obligated to give the Matanos Anim, Haviluhu Kishar Tzvua Shalovet Kochavim, it's like any other produce of a non-Jew, Shechayeves B'Maser, that is obligated to give Maser. And the Bar Tanura goes on to explain that an exception to this, the balance of the Mishnah says, Ela Imkein Hefker, unless the non-Jew made the field, the produce, Hefker, that is when it won't be Chayev in Maasros, because something that is Hefker, it's ownerless, does not have an obligation of maestro. So the Bar Tanura continues, Elaim kein hifkir la'anim ula'ashirim, he was mafkirit both to the poor and to the wealthy, the hefker patur min ha'maser, because something that is not owned, you don't have to give maaser from. Now, he explains that this mission is according to Rabbi Meir, who is of the view that a non-Jew, he may call himself an owner of the land. He may be the owner, the legal owner of the land, but that kinyan in Eretz Yisrael does not absolve him from giving maestros. It still has kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that it's owned by a non-Jew does not mean that he does not give to give trumas and maestros. The Eretz Yisrael creates that kedusha, and even a non-Jew would have the obligation in his produce, or we couldn't eat it without taking trumas and maestros. However, the Bar Tanura points out, ein chein halacha, that is not how we paskin. We paskin that if a non-Jew owns land in the land of Israel, that would remove the kedusha from those peiros, and those peiros would indeed not be obligated in maasros. Mishnah Yud continues to another one of the matanos anim. We've primarily been talking about an arma sechta, the mitzvah peah, although we did mention also shichcha and leket without defining them. And now our Mishnah asks, ezahu leket, what is this mitzvah of leket that the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yutes V'leket Kitzircha Lo Silaket, another one of the Matonas Lev Nionim, the Matonas Anim. What is Leket? Now we're going to discuss Leket all the way for about the next parak or so up until Perek Hey Mishnah Vav, and at that point we're going to discuss Shichcha. So the Mishnah is Leket. What is Leket? The Hanosher Bishas Aksira. Leket is when somebody is reaping in the field. He's either reaping by hand or with a sickle, and some of the stalks fall. That is the broad definition of what leket is. Haya kotzer, if somebody is going and he is reaping in the field, katzer melo yado, and he cut with his hand. In other words, he was holding it with his hand, a fistful, and he uses a sickle and he cuts it off. Or talash melo kumso, or if he was doing it in not the normal way, but he was simply plucking it out, a fistful with his hand. And what we're about to see is if he dropped it, as we just mentioned before, that is Peshasak Shir is no share. He happened to drop it by mistake. That is what Leket is. But if he drops it for an external reason, an example here that the Mishnah has, he kahu kotz, he gets nailed by a thorn. Minafal miyadol arts, and accordingly, because of that pain, he drops what's in his hand while he's reaping. Hareze shel ba'al habayis, that is the owner of the field. That is not leket, because it was an external fright, an external pain, something, an external factor that caused him to drop what he was reaping. It wasn't simply that he dropped it in the normal course. And now we continue defining when is it leket and when is it not leket. So the Mishnah continues, toch hayad, if he had it in his hand, in his grasp, or we're reading it, oh, there are different ways to read this. Is it and, or, but we're going to bring it as or, oh, bisoch hamagal, or he had it in the sickle and then it fell out. So he had it in his grasp of his hand, he dropped it by mistake. Or he had it in the sickle and it dropped out. La'anim, that is going to be leket, and that is going to go to the anim. However, achar hayad, if he never had a good grasp of it, literally it was on the other side of his hand. And also, now we're reading it, ve'achar hamagal, both of these factors have to happen in order for it to be labal hamayis, to be for labal habayis. So in other words, he never had it in his hand, and also he never had it properly in the sickles. It simply got cut off in a backhanded way. That is not going to go to the anim, that is going to go to the bal habayis. It's not going to be leket. However, if we have a blend of those things, not that it was in his hand or on the other side of the hand, but he was grasping it, but not well in his hand, or not that it was in the sickle, which would go to the anim, or not that it was backhanded outside the sickle, that we said that would go to the bal habayis, it's not leket, but now we have it cut by the sickle, but it was nipped off by the top of the sickle, meaning it wasn't a good slice, it wasn't on the sickle itself, but it was cut off in at the way end of the sickle. So Rosh Hayad, the Rosh Hamagal, the situation is it was at the top of his hand. At the top of his sickle, where does that fall? That's not in the hand proper. It's also not on the back of the hand. It's not in the sickle, it's not the back of the sickle. So we have a machlokas now. Rabbi Yishmael Omer La'anim, in this situation it's going to be leket, because that's close enough to being in the normal way of harvesting that it will go to the anim. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, it's not in the hand, that's not considered in the sickle. Accordingly, that will go labal habayis, that is going to go back to the owner of the field, and it will not be considered leket. Mishnah Yud Aleph discusses a situation where we have holes made by the ants, and they have in it kernels of grain. And the question that we grapple with is, are those kernels to be given as leket for the anim, or are those kernels for the bal habayis? And what we're going to see, there are actually two ways to read this Mishnah. One way is that you have to look at the field. Is this a field that they have started to harvest yet or not? If they have not started to harvest yet, then any kernels are going to be the bal habayis. But once they have started to harvest the field, even if those ant holes are in an area that they have not harvested yet, those kernels of grain are going to be given to the anim, because once the harvesting started, maybe the ants took it to their hole, even if their hole is located in a place that has not been harvested yet. So that's one way to read the Mishnah, is B'toch HaKama, as we'll see shortly, is a place, that field that has not been harvested yet. And then we're going to see that Sheva Achar HaKotrim is a field that they have started harvesting already. Or the other way to read this Mishnah is that you're going to divide up the field into whether they have harvested that area of the field yet. So in the Mishnah, when it talks about B'toch HaKama, it's talking about a field that they have started harvesting, but if you find those ant holes in an area that they have not harvested yet, then those kernels of grain are going to be assumed to be from the kama, from that area the ants took it, and accordingly it's going to be for the bal habayis. And if they find it in a place, shala achar kotzrim, in an area in the field that they have already harvested, then that those kernels are going to be assumed that they were from the harvested area, and it's going to go to the ants. So the Mishnah says as follows, Chori anemalim, if we have kernels of grain that are found in ant holes, Shebez toch hakama, if it is in the kama, that means either the entire field has not been harvested yet, or it's in the area of the field that has not been harvested yet. Harei hen shel ha-baal ha-bayis. They are going to be of the baal ha-bayis, and it's not going to be leket. Shela'achar ha-kotri means the field they have started harvesting yet, and it doesn't matter. In the entire field, it's going to have the same din. Or we're going to divide up the field, and it's talking about in the area of the field that they have already harvested from. Now we have to distinguish when we find those kernels in the ant holes. Ha'el yonim la'anim. The Tanakam is of the view that the top of the grains at the top of it, that is going to be for the anim. It's talking about the ripe ones. The ripe ones are going to be a white color. That's going to be the color of the grain. So that's the elyonim. So that is obviously from what has been harvested. And then, so that's going to be to the anim. And the hatachtonim, and underneath the unripe grains, that's going to be the green grains, that's from before they started harvesting. But tachtonim shel baal habayis, that's going to be of the baal habayis, because that was taken before the harvesting. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Hakol anim, everything in those ant holes are going to go to the anim, and he brings the following rationale as the Bar Tumnura explains as follows. Even if you want to say that we have green grains, so it must be that's the baal habayis. Truth be told, Bar Tumnura says even when you harvest and everything is looking ripe, there's still stuff that's not going to be ripe. There's still going to be grains that are green in it. And accordingly, hakol anim, everything will go to the anim, shesafek leket leket. Anything that we have a doubt, is this leket or is this not leket, we're going to give to the anim as leket. So anything that you find in those ant holes, even if it's still green, we would say that will still go to the anim. Rabbi Meir, it makes a drush on a pasuk to learn that even when if we have a suffix about something, is it leket or not, it's going to go to the anim as leket.